Broken in the Dust again. Mystery Babylon. Great song. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in. This is Eurofolk Radio. Yahweh's Covenant people here on Eurofolk Radio Network. And today we're going to do part two of our series. Last time we did a couple of shows on Ephraim and Manasseh. And now we're going to do a series on Judah and Dan, okay? And I think we've got a really nice treat. People in the chat room are talking about cars. And it's interesting that Buick, because I remember growing up with Buicks, Chryslers, Chevys, Oldsmobiles, Pintos, Fords, etc. And Buick and Oldsmobile were always copies of each other. I mean, the different Buick models were virtually identical to the Oldsmobile models. It's just I think the Oldsmobiles were a little more expensive, all right? But they were simply copycat models that I guess one model wasn't good enough, so they had to get two versions to compete against each other, right? Okay. Oh, Brent Allen Winters said it was a Chrysler product. Aha. He's got that wrong. No, it's a Cadillac, right? Okay, so us old codgers remember those days. You youngins don't remember and therefore don't know the difference between a Buick, Cadillac.
That's like a Chevy pickup truck and a GMC pickup truck. Same thing.
Same thing, right. GMC and Chevy are the same thing. Right, General Motors Corporation. Yeah, that's the overall name, General Motors. And Chrysler Corporation, you know, puts out Dodge. And, of course, Chrysler.
Plymouth.
Plymouth, there you go. I don't know, do they still make Plymouth?
No, Plymouth is gone.
It's gone, okay. Yep. Right. Because my dad had a Plymouth station wagon. I'll never. Pontiac.
Plymouth Fury.
Yeah, right.
And they had some hot cars, but the days of the hot cars are gone.
Yeah. My dad had a Plymouth Belvedere station wagon, the most nondescript car you could ever buy, but it ran really well. It was huge. Had all kinds of cargo space. Because my dad was a carpenter and a plasterer, and he needed a vehicle like that, right?
Right.
So, and the old DeLorean, not too many of those made. How about, here's a name for you, Avanti.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
Studebaker.
Oh,
remember Studebakers, right?
Yep.
Packard.
My grandfather had Studebakers and Packards.
Mm-hmm, yeah. They're all gone. They've all been gobbled up by the bigger corporations, which is true of Mystery Babylon.
They don't make cars of that quality.
No, they don't. Yeah, they were built. Oh, Fire Sign Theater would tell jokes about even your dents are made out of chrome. Now, today, you don't have chrome steel bumpers. You have plastic bumpers. What good are they?
Yep.
Right?
Nothing.
Right. I mean, those cars, I mean, you pay like $4,000 or $5,000 for a Dodge Charger in the early 70s. That thing was made out of steel, not plastic, folks. Today, you'll pay, what, $50,000 or $60,000 for a plastic car, right?
I bought a brand new Ford pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new with a straight six in it. For $2,000 and ran it for 12 years.
Wow, $2,000. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Brand new showroom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that was back then.
Yeah.
Two grand.
$100,000 would have bought you the showroom. Right?
Well,
talk about inflation.
Money was worth something in those days.
Oh, it sure was.
Wages about $3 to $5 an hour.
Yeah, and the women didn't have to work.
No, they stayed at home and raised kids.
And cooked, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I couldn't wait to get home to see what my mother had on the table. Yeah, from school. Yeah, I got a little tired of eating egg sandwiches for lunch, you know. So, but for a nickel, you could buy a bottle of chocolate milk, all right?
Yeah.
And whatever else they might have snacks, you know. They didn't have school lunches in those days, so you pretty much had to bag your lunch, and you could buy milk and a few snacks. That's about it. So anyway, we're reminiscing, folks. We're reminiscing about the good old days. So let's get into today's topic, and let me post the link into the chat room here. And this is Danes and Jutes, Dan and Judah Dan by Mikkel Sternholm Krag. Sounds like a very Danish name, maybe Swedish. But pop quiz for all you folks. Who are the Jutes? Who would the Jutes be? Jews or Judahites? Right?
Jutland.
Jutland, right. Yeah, it's not called Jutland anymore. It was pronounced Jutland, not Jutland. Yeah, Jutland. And they were Judah, not Judah. Okay, right. So, you wanna read the first couple of paragraphs here?
I can do that. Dan's and Jutes, Dan and Judah Dan, by Mikkel Sternholm Krag. The modern Danish people, Danskere, is made up of the proper Danes, Danner, on the numerous islands, and the Jutes, or
Juder, yes.
Jider,
okay.
On the Jutland Peninsula, if recent immigrants, etc., are ignored.
Okay, so the demographics have changed a little bit.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they're browning everywhere. Right. The original Danes were a Nordic tribe. That's Danish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A Nordic tribe, while the original Utes were a Germanic tribe. Still, that's Jauda.
Right.
The Danes are of Dan, the Utes are of Jauda and Dan.
Okay, I wouldn't make a fine distinction between Nordic and German. I really wouldn't. Those are more territorial designations, but obviously he equates them with two of the tribes of Israel, so it can't be that great a distinction, can it? Back to you.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Then the next section is the deportation of Israel to areas south of the Caucasus.
Mm-hmm.
The three northern tribes of Israel, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali, were among the first of the Israelite tribes to be deported out of the land of Canaan, because the invaders who attacked and deported the Israelite tribes, the Assyrians and Babylonians, invaded the land of Canaan from the north. From 734 to 732 B.C., Tiglath-Pileser III, king of Assyria, invaded and conquered the northern, eastern, and western parts of the ten-tribed northern kingdom of Israel, as the Holy Scriptures record. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Eon, and Abel-Beth-Maacah, and Yanoah, and Kadesh, and Chazor, and Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. That's 2 Kings, chapter 15, verse 29. In 724 B.C., Salmaneser V, king of Assyria, attacked Samaria, the capital of the northern ten-tribe kingdom of Israel. And in 721 B.C., his successor, Sargon II, took Samaria, and the rest of the ten tribes of Israel were deported to areas south of the Caucasus Mountains and south of the Caspian Sea, as the Holy Scriptures record.
Okay. Now, I don't know if Mikkel Krag is Christian identity, but this is typically stuff only those of us in identity know. So I would think he'd have to be a member of Christian identity theology, given what he's telling us here. Back to you.
He sure is dead on.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing on, in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 6.
Okay, so Asher and the Medes and all of these places that he's talking about were inhabited by the Shemites. Okay. And Aramaic-speaking Shemites. Okay,
right.
Back to you.
These areas are almost identical to the areas where the oldest Norse chronicles state that the ancestors of the Nordic and Germanic tribes came from before they trekked over Eastern Europe to Northern Europe.
Okay, I hope the Nordic pagans are listening. Okay, let's continue.
The Asser and Vaner homeland south and north of the Caucasus. That's the next section. Let me scroll up a little bit here. The Icelandic chief and historian Snorri Sturluson, 1179 to 1241, wrote Heimskringla, approximately 1230, of which the first part is called the Ynglingi Saga, where Sturluson describes the homeland of the Nordic and Germanic tribes as the areas south and north of the Caucasus Mountains. They were divided into two groups, Asser and Vaner, which obviously are the names of Asher and Dan.
You don't say. That's a stretch.
Two of the Israelite tribes in the camp of Dan.
Right. Okay, and I think we've, in another lesson, linguistically, throughout history, the letter D and V have morphed into one another. So you can see how Dan could become Van to other tribes. Okay? So that's not a stretch. That's not a linguistic stretch at all. Back to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Snorri Sturluson describes the homeland of Dvanr, which was the lost Israelite tribe of Dan. On the south side of the mountains, which lie outside of all inhabited lands, runs a river through Swithjod, which is properly called by the name of Tanais, but was formerly called Tanaskizl or Banaskizl, which falls into the Black Sea.
Okay,
the country of the people on the Vanaskizl were called Vanaland or Vanaheim, and the river separates the three parts of the world, of which the easternmost part is called Asia and the westernmost Europe.
Okay, that's according to Snorri.
That's Snorri Sturluson and Ynglingi Saga Part 1.
1230 A.D. Nice. Very nice.
Right.
Okay.
There we go. The river Tanaskvisl, Vanaskvisl, Tanais must be the river Don or Dan, the Danube, okay?
No. The river Don is a different one. Similar
different
sound.
Different one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I learned something. Because its ancient Greek name was Tanais.
There you go.
In the Old Testament, the Danites named places after their ancestor Dan, Judges 18, verses 12 and 29. Dawn also carries the name Dan.
Yeah, there you go. So the Tanais is the Greek word of the same river, and that was changed to Don, apparently because we already had the Danube, so they called it Don to make it sound different from Dan. Back to you.
Mm-hmm. And they had a TV show where that was the theme. Right. Dun, 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 dun.
Dan.
Oh, never.
All right.
All right. The Vonner. I made up.
Today. Yeah.
The Vonner lived adjacent to the Aesir, whose chief was Odin.
Ah, Odin.
He was a man. He was a chief.
Mr. Kim Smith says they're the Van Dam. or the Dam Van, maybe.
Dam Van, there you go.
Okay.
The country east of the Tanaskisl in Asia was called Asaland or Asaheim,
mm-hmm.
which means home.
I mean, okay.
Asher home.
Now, wait a minute. There's another linguistic connection here. Assyria. Okay,
uh-huh.
because the land of Asher and the nation of Assyria abutted one another, right? Then the Asherites All were right. taken off to Assyria. So, you know, again, similar sounding names.
Oh, boy, listen to and the chief city in that land was called Asgard.
Oh, boy.
There's your mythology.
There you go. There's your pagan god.
in that city was a chief called Odin, and it was a great place for sacrifice.
Pagan
sacrifices.
But the Israelites didn't sacrifice, did they?
Yeah, it was the custom there that 12 temple priests
12.
Should both direct the sacrifices and also judge the people.
Why 12?
They were called Diar or Drotner. And all the people served and obeyed them. Mm-hmm. Odin was a great and very far-traveled warrior who conquered many kingdoms. And so successful was he that in every battle, the victory was on his side.
Okay. So Ynglinga Saga Part 2. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we see the Israelite connections here. Now, Odin, chances are the name Odin is probably a Hebrew word. I would suspect it was a Hebrew word, okay? And then Diar or Drotner, probably maybe the word Druid or Drood comes from this as well because they were priests, right?
Right.
Okay. And the Druids were actually paganized priests whose garb was very similar to that of the Levitical priests, virtually identical. Back to you.
Yeah, well, see, mm-hmm. nobody wants to study history.
Mm-hmm.
And they make something out of these myths, what they should not make out of them.
Right.
Instead of finding the underlying truth on which the myths are built.
Amen.
So then we have all the pagans today that want to worship Odin. No, he was a god. No, he wasn't. He was a battle chief.
That's right.
Okay. So
an Israelite battle chief.
And ancestor worship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
he
was either of Judah or Dan. Not sure which, because you find Odin.
We have lapsed into this ancestor worship.
That's right.
From the true worship of Yahweh. And
which
now
is paganism.
We're being drawn back with all these truths and all this knowledge that we're putting out and finding our true identity that these people were not what they say they are today, but were Israelites in truth. And this is Israelite history.
Amen.
And that upsets a lot of people. And I'm sorry about their bad luck.
Okay.
But
so you can stop frolicking in the groves and running around. The pole, the Yule? We're coming right up Yule.
The Maypole.
The Maypole, right. And the Yule, whatever it is.
The Yule log.
Yeah, Yule log, right? Okay.
They burned the Yule log.
Okay.
Et cetera.
And heated up the brew. Yeah. And drink it down. Eggnog.
Warm,
right?
Warm mead. Yes.
Right. Yep. There you go. Right.
Yeah,
in the Christmas tree. Old Tannenbaum. Old Tannenbaum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, never mind.
In München steht ein Hofbräuhaus. Eins, zwei, Sofa. Okay. Oh, so we all get drunk and sing.
Yeah, why not?
Ancient Israelite tradition.
The lost tribes of Israel's trek from the Middle East to Northern Europe. This guy's got to be CI.
Yeah, he's got to be. Yes.
After a war between the Asur and the Vanar, which ended without any one of them prevailing, Odin led the tribes to Northern Europe. And this is what's underneath here, this
saga
narrative.
Part 5. Yeah, okay.
There goes a great mountain barrier from the northeast to the southwest, which divides the greater Svithjod from other kingdoms.
Okay.
South of this mountain ridge, it is not far to Turkland.
Okay, that's the other side of the Black Sea.
Where Odin had great possessions.
Okay, so Odin had great possessions in Aesirland, Assyria. That's what we're being told, folks.
Turkland, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey.
Yeah.
In those times, the Roman chiefs went wide around in the world, subduing to themselves all people. And on this account, many chiefs fled from their domains. But Odin, having foreknowledge and magic sight, knew that his posterity would come to settle and dwell in the northern half of the world. He therefore set his brothers, Ve and Vilji, over Asgard, and he himself, with all the gods and a great many other people, wandered out first westward to Gadarik, that's Russia, and then south to Saxland, that's Saxony. He had many sons, and after having subdued an extensive kingdom in Saxland, he set his sons to rule the country. He himself went northward to the Baltic Sea and took up his abode in an island which is called Odin's Island, Odensk, on Funen.
Okay. All right. That's, so this is, you know, actual history as recorded by Snorri Sturluson. Okay, this is not mythology. And it dovetails with the migrations of Israel, does it not?
Yep.
Okay, pagans, listen closely, and all you white nationalists, listen closely. This is your history. Your history as paganized Israelites that came from Acer, as you like to call it, otherwise known as Assyria and or Asher. Okay. Please continue.
Yes, sir. The account of this trek is confirmed by important historians such as Peter Friedrich Schum, Denmark, 1728 to 1798, and Olaf Rudbeck the Elder, that's Sweden, 1630-1702. Schum and Rudbeck did not trace our origins all the way back to the Israelites, but Schum did write, speaking of the Nordic people, that, and I quote, "The ancestors of us, the Germans and the Celts, lived together in Asia Minor."
Hmm.
P.F. Schum, Om Oden og den Hednisk, Gudelare og Guds de Fineste und Uden Norden.
Yeah, very good.
1771.
Now, it's interesting how he divides the Germans and the Celts into two groups, but says at the same time that they live together in Asia Minor. Well, that's Turkey again. Okay.
Right.
Now, we know that there was a Cimmerian migration of Israelites that went by sea to the Isles of Britain. Okay. And they were called the Celtiberians. They merged with Zarajuda that had arrived there 750 years earlier. But the Germans were the ones who migrated overland up the Danube right. River and up the Rhine River. So he apparently must realize that there, you know, these are two different branches that came from the same area of, quote-unquote, Asia. How did he know that? It must be traditions of these things.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, back to you.
All right. The next sentence is, the Norwegian explorer Thor Heyerdahl also confirmed Snorri Sturluson's account in 2002 when he published Jotvingpa Odin, The Search for Odin, wherein Heyerdahl specifically wrote that the ancestors of the Norsemen came from Azerbaijan.
Okay. So Azer is just another variation of Acer or Assyria or Asher, uh-huh. Okay? Uh-huh. What Bajan might mean, it might mean people of Azer, okay? So again, our roots are being traced to Asia Minor, Turkey.
Right.
Right?
Let's and call the Turkey next today. One, the next one is the many Odin. There were several Odins. Sum writes of at least three different Odins. Odin okay. was most likely not a name, but a title, which meant something like Lord, Chief.
Number one.
Number one, or Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in Russian, Odin means one. Okay. I have asked a Russian lady about this, and she confirmed it.
Number one. Number one son. Okay.
Yeah, well, right. he was the head guy.
Right.
Okay.
Number one.
Because if you messed with him, he'd cut off your head.
That's right.
The lost tribes of Israel are divided into groups. That's the next section.
Okay.
When the lost tribes, led by Odin, came to the Baltic Sea, they divided themselves into two groups. One group went north across the Baltic Sea and became the ancestors of the Nordic tribes, such as the Danes, Donner, Swedes, Svear, Geats, Gotar, and Norwegians.
Mm-hmm.
The other group went west across what today is Poland and became the ancestors of the Germanic tribes.
Hmm. So why did they go? Why did they go across Poland, I wonder? I wonder what that's all about. But in any case, maybe it was populated by the descendants of Japheth. Okay,
you know?
Rather than engage them in war, they just moved on. That's a possibility, okay? We'd have to study the history of Poland, you know, actually, that would be prehistoric times, right? Okay, it'd be difficult to find that out. But the Geats, that's probably just a Götter in German here.
Gotisch,
meaning God's people.
Gothic.
Yes, Gothic. Gotisch means God's people. These people had a tradition that they were God's people. Okay? That's what that word Geats means. Okay? Back to you.
All right. Sum thus writes that it is, and I quote, reasonable that our fathers have come here via Russia and the eastern part of Poland. When they came to the Baltic Sea and present-day Livonia, they divided themselves into two great multitudes. The one went north, and our fathers descend from them, and the other went west and became the ancestors of many German peoples.
Okay. I just thought of another possibility. Maybe they were just looking for seacoast. because that way they could fish and get food readily, rather than having to set up villages and hunt for game and et cetera, you know, maybe that was the, maybe they were looking for seacoast. Okay, that's another possibility. Back to you.
Yes, well, they were also formerly a seafaring people.
That's correct. That's correct.
So yeah. that was inherent in their traditions.
Mm-hmm.
They were great boat builders.
Oh, man, yeah.
So
not the Jews. Right? No. The no. Jews, the world's greatest boat builders. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Tell me another one. Okay.
Denmark called Vanaheim.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or Danaheim. Okay.
Okay.
Dan's home. After the tribes had arrived in Northern Europe, Vanaheim, the homeland of Dvanr, or Donner, was still a geographical place. Sum mentions a Swedish king, Svedger, in the 1st century AD, who went to Vanaheim and married a Vanar woman, then continued to Germany, the greater Svithjod,
mm-hmm.
and Gotheim to search for the old Odin, who had been missing for 5 years.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so a lot of people make major distinctions between the Nordic tribes, such as the Danes and Swedes and the Germans. No, we're being shown here they have a very common history.
It was the same people that just split up into different groups, and they were identified by different names for different geographical areas.
Yeah.
But racially and traditionally, they were all the same people.
Yeah, that's correct. Of Israel, amen.
Yeah, that's the deal. Okay, from the context, it seems that by Vanaheim is meant Denmark.
Very good. All right, let me pick it up
Dan,
from here.
Dan's home, okay.
Right, Dan's home.
And you want to do? You want to start with the original Danes and Jews? Yeah, fire away, brother.
And I'm looking at this. There's a really nice map right here.
Oh, yeah.
Holland with a double, it's H-A-double-L instead of today's H-O-double-L. And we know that Holland.
Holland.
Right, yeah, Holland. Well,
and that's Holland. Yeah,
and that's the settling place of Zebulon. Okay, we'll do Zebulon another day. And we have Scania. Skane is the province. We have Zealand, which is Seeland, of Deutsch, meaning land of the sea, or maybe island. Okay.
Right.
Schleswig, which is still a province of Germany today. Funen and Jutland. Jutland, okay. And I'm just looking at some of the counties here. We have Himbers as a province of Jutland. Himber is, I believe, raspberry in Germanic. Okay. Titus, Hardus. Anyway, Almundus. Okay, the Germans also being known as the Alaman. Etc., etc. Okay, so we see the Germanic influence. Now, where did they pick up German? How did our Israelite people pick up Germanic? Well, they picked it up in Assyria. Okay. It's a dialect of Aramaic called Parsi and other dialects as well, right? And years ago, I did a show with a Pastor William who had actually visited that area of the world. And he said when he listened to the people speak, even today in Assyria and in those provinces, he said it sounded just like German. Okay? So that's where our ancestors picked it up. Okay, the original Danes and Jutes. The Gothic historian Jordanus writes in De Origin Actibusque Gutarum, The Origin and Deeds of the Goths, 551 A.D., that the Danes came out of the Swedes. The original Swedes and the Geats later formed Sweden. Geats is just another word for Goth. The Danes were of the tribe of Dan, who came to the Scandinavian peninsula along with the other tribes of Billa and Zilpah, Naphtali, Asher, and Gad. Of course, Bilhah and Zilpah are the wives of Jacob. Right. And he's referring to their sons here, Naphtali, Asher, and Gad. The original Jutes, on the other hand, were of the tribe of Judah, who, along with other tribes of Leah, made up the Germanic tribes that settled on the European continent and the Jutland Peninsula. Okay, that's very interesting. Okay, so, and this map is of Denmark in the Middle Ages. Origin of the nation of Denmark. Sum writes that around 235 AD, Dan Michelotti, king of the Danes in Scania and Halland, was also crowned as king of the islands Zeeland, Funen, Mon, Falster, and Lolland. When the Jutes and the Angles were invaded by the Saxons, their kinsmen, Dan Michelotti successfully helped them. And for this, the Jutes and the Angles also crowned him as king in Vyborg in Jutland. So for a while here, it looks like the Jutes, Danes, Angles, and Saxons were all united under King, what's his name? Vyborg? In Vyborg is the town. The town in Jutland. And his name is Dan Michelotti. Okay. Denmark, as we know it today, was thus united, even though the three parts, Scania land, the Isles, and Jutland, kept their separate laws. The four provinces, Scania, Halland, Blekinge, and Bornholm, were collectively called Scania land. Okay, Terra Scaniae. All right, so very interesting history here that, so these four different so-called Germanic tribes are of Israelite descent. Primarily, we're talking again the Danes, the tribe of Dan, and the Jutes, tribe of Judah, the name Denmark. Denmark, the Danish name for Denmark, means the Danes' borderland because mark meant borderland. Denmark was originally the name for Dan Michelotti's kingdom in Scania and Holland, but eventually became the name of the entire kingdom. The Danish historiographer Ivar Nielsen Hertzholm, 1635 to 1693, wrote that the Danes and Denmark's name comes from the Hebrew word Dan. Now we're seeing all of these quotations from old historians connecting the Danes and the Germans with the tribes of Israel. How about that? Meaning to judge, investigate, and believes that we are so called so because of our wisdom. Unfortunately, we don't follow this wisdom anymore. So basically, what would you say, Pastor Steve? Even though the Israelites that migrated north and were kicked out of Canaan land by Yahweh for their pagan practices, they still would have retained a lot of his laws, right? So so they were not totally uncivilized, okay, and probably still had a lot of brotherly love for their own tribes, all right? But but we're kind of half and half mixed up, Yahweh's laws plus pagan traditions, okay?
Yeah.
All right. In the days of the Old Testament, the tribe of Dan had a habit of naming places after their father Dan, the son of Israel. Dan originally lived in a territory next to Ephraim, Benjamin, Judah, and the Philistines. In the early 12th century, 600 Danites, sought a new territory in the north of Canaan, where they lived probably as Phoenicians. He's left out a word here. Where they lived probably as Phoenicians, next to Naphtali and the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. On their way, they camped in a place in Judah, which the Danites called Mahane Dan, meaning Camp of Dan. Quote, "And there went from thence of the family of the Danites, out of Zorah and out of Eshtael, 600 men appointed with weapons of war. They went up and pitched in Kiriath Jearim, in Judah, wherefore they called that place Mahane Dan unto this day. Behold, it is behind Kiriath Jearim." Okay, and what does any idea what Kiriath
City of Yarim.
Yarim, okay. After they had
that
smitten.
That was a man's name.
Okay, I see. I see. After they had smitten the peaceful Phoenicians of Laish, maybe they were, maybe they weren't, with the sword and burned the city, they called the new city Dan. And they built a city and dwelt therein, and they called the name of the city. I don't know where he gets peaceful. You know, I mean, the Bible doesn't say that they were peaceful. Name of city of Dan, and after the name of Dan, their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Laish at first. That's Judges 18, verses 28 to 29. When the tribe of Dan, called Vanner and Tanner, trekked across Eastern Europe, they likewise seem to have named several major rivers after themselves. The river Don, by the ancient Norsemen called Tanakvisl and Vanakvisl, and by the ancient Greeks called Tanais, has already been mentioned. Other major East European rivers with the prefix D-N are Donets, a tributary to the Don, Dnieper, which by late Greek and Roman authors was called Danapris and Danaper, respectively, Dniester, by which by the Romans and Jordanus, 6th century AD, was called Danastris and Danastus, the Danube, which in German, Danish, and other languages is called the Donau. In 1219, King Valdemar II of Denmark led a successful crusade in Estonia to convert the Estonians to the Christian faith. Besides King Valdemar and the Danish army, the crusaders also included Archbishop Sunesen of Denmark, Bishop Theodoric of Estonia, a German army, and a Slavonic Sorb army. The crusaders encamped at Lindanisse and began to build a castle which they called Dana Castle, Castrum Danorum, which became the city of Tallinn, which in Estonian means Dane City, and today is the capital of Estonia. It was the Battle of Lindanisse that a flag, which probably had belonged to some of the crusaders and had gotten hurled up in the air, fell down from the sky and became Dannebrog, a Danish flag. Must have been a hurricane, or not a hurricane, a whirlwind. Today, Danes likewise have a habit of using the name Dan in their firms. If you type Dan in the Danish online yellow pages, which they give a link to here, there comes out a long list of firms such as Dantex, Dan Egendoma, Dan Glass. Dan, I don't think we need to repeat all those, but you would expect that in any case. All right. Dan Trailers, which are made right here in Illinois. No, I'm just kidding about that. Okay. A real long list of companies with the name Dan. Dan
Don
Auto
and Yogurt. Don and Yogurt.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Okay. So now the Jutes. The Jutes were originally a Germanic tribe which later became Nordic. Okay, again, what's the distinction? I don't know, maybe, you know, the language they spoke would be a version of Assyrian Aramaic, or Farsi, or Parsi.
And variations crept in, so they're not all identical.
Right, but they're very similar. Yeah,
very similar.
Right.
You know, same way Welsh is virtual Hebrew.
That's right.
Figurative Welsh.
Okay.
They're the Israelite people.
And so he references various.
We're all over the place in dispersion.
That's right, all
point.
Over Europe.
That's why we're teaching all of this stuff.
Yes.
Wakey, wakey, Israelites.
Right. The Jutes came to Jutland from Germany, while the Danes came to the Isles from the Scandinavian Peninsula. Of course, the tribe of Dan was already in Ireland many centuries before. Let's see, I think we're talking possibly up to 1,000 years before they already had sailed to Ireland. Okay. And the Angles and the Saxons, two other Germanic tribes, settled in the southern parts of the Jutland Peninsula. And the Angles?
Well, the tribe of Dan, a great deal of them left Egypt before the Exodus.
That's right.
They were seafarers, and they built those reed boats, and they went everywhere and were great traders and great explorers. And those reed boats were so sturdy that they could cross the Atlantic.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of people don't realize a lot of these boats were huge. They would carry hundreds of people. Okay, they weren't like two-man canoes, right? People think ancient. Well, the Phoenicians. How about the Phoenicians? These are the same people that people the Phoenician ships. They traveled. They literally traveled all over the world. Okay. And with primarily Israelite seamen. Okay. All right. So. Now, he gives a couple of histories here by P.F. Sum. The Jutes came to Jutland from Germany, while the Danes came to the Isles from the Scandinavian Peninsula, etc. Today, the descendants of the ancient Germanic tribes are dispersed throughout both Germanic-speaking and non-Germanic-speaking peoples. The following European nations are in the following percentages genetically descended from the ancient Germanic tribes. So, what are we calling German here? Okay, German would be those tribes primarily of Fares, Judah.
That's correct.
All right, who were one of the last ethnic Israelites to migrate from Acer, Assyria. Okay, at that time it was called Parthia.
Well, that's one of the reasons that Rome had such trouble doing Germania, because Rome was Zara Judah, and in the Germans were Pharez Judah, the lead tribe. They were the better warriors,
right?
And they stopped the Roman armies cold,
right? And they were Parthians, which means again Pharez Judah, and Parthia stopped the Roman army cold. In the Middle East. All right. So here we're actually talking about two related tribes, with Zara Judah settling Rome, the Roman Peninsula, around 1500 BC, and the Parthian Germanic Judahites they didn't leave Parthia until roughly 100 AD. That's when the Parthian Empire began to fall apart.
Well, look at the genetics of the northern Italians. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Okay. Then you go into southern, and David James brings this out all the time. Sicily and the southern Italians were dark, swarthy. They were not.
Yeah, gradually became Judahites. That.
They were infiltrated and bred in with non-Israelites.
Right. And that distinction still holds true today. If you ever watch the Winter Olympics, and you will see the blonde-haired, blue-eyed skiers and skaters and what have you from northern Italy up in the mountains, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Clearly a different ethnic origin than the...
Well, you take one of them and you turn them inside out, you got a German, and you take a German and turn them inside out, and you got those people, and they cross over
right
there. They have crossed over. They are mixed people, but they're of the same ethnic origin, the same tribe.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Just different nationality mixed. And the nationality doesn't mean a doodly squat when all the tribes of Israel are going to be brought together.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Today, the descendants of the ancient Germanic tribes are dispersed throughout blah, blah, blah. The following European nations are in the following percentages genetically descended from the ancient Germanic tribes. And so, basically, now here's the Celtic tradition. The Celts came into Europe primarily from the south because they were Keltoid, that is Zara Judah and related tribes of Israel.
Right.
Okay. They crossed and they came up from France, from France and from Spain and maybe from Italy too. But from Italy, you would have to cross the Alps, okay? So that was a more dangerous trek. So the Celts came primarily and from what is called Normandy, from the west coast. They were Celtic Israelites of Zarajuda and the followers of Zarajuda. And they went into Central Europe, and they have a Celtic tradition. The Germanic tribes came from the east, overland, and met with the Celts, and they made war against each other. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? But they are all Israelites, all of them. Okay? So here's his breakdown. Germany, 25% Germanic, which means Zarajuda. 45% Celtic, which is interesting. I wouldn't have given the Celts that much, but the Celts held that territory long before the Germans arrived. Okay. 20% Slavonic, 10% Jewish. Austria, 35% Germanic, 30% Slavonic, 10% Finno-Ugaric, 10% Phoenician, 10% Jewish, 5% Celtic. Okay, so there's less Celtic blood the further south and east you go, which is, as we described, the Celtic branch came from France, north from France, and east from Normandy. Switzerland, 30% Germanic, 55% Celtic, 10% Jewish, 5% Slavonic. Now, I would make this caveat here that the Jewish element did not migrate into these areas until probably 1000 AD and later.
Adolf Richter puts in the chat room, the Slavonic language is ancient Hebrew.
Okay.
Parthian, the Slovans are the Parthians. The word Partia means group.
Interesting.
In Slavonic language. Thank you, sir. Okay. Appreciate right,
thank
that.
You. Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah, we got a sharp group in there.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Yeah. Okay, where did I leave off? Okay, Switzerland. Netherlands, 40% Germanic, 50% Celtic, 10% Viking. And Viking is just another word for, Swede, which is another word for Dane. Belgium, the Belgae, 20% Germanic, 80% Celtic, which, again suggests that the Celts moved in from the Atlantic coast, from that, what's that sea called, between Britain and the coast, the English Sea, is that what it's called? Something like
English
that.
English Channel.
English Channel, that's right. UK, 13% Germanic, 75% Celtic, 12% Viking. And you would expect that because they were originally settled by Tuatha De Danann and Zarajuda.
And 70% Mohammedan.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right?
Depends on where you are.
There you go. France, 20% Germanic, 70% Celtic, 10% Phoenician. Czech Republic, 50% Germanic, 42% Slavonic, 8% Jewish. Spain, 15% Germanic, 40% Celtic, 30% Iberian, which is what?
Hebrew.
Hebrew.
Ibrim.
Hebrew.
Ibrim, the Hebrews.
Right. Not Jewish. Hebrew.
That's right.
It's interesting he doesn't call them Jewish, so he must know the difference. 7% Phoenician, 7% special case, ~1% Arab. I don't know, is he talking about today or when these nations were formed? Anyway, Sweden and Norway, 12% Germanic, 88% Viking, which means Danish, Odinist, okay. Denmark, 40% Germanic, 60% Viking. So who were the Vikings? The Vikings were Swedes who were Danes. So as we talked about earlier, Asher, Dan, and those northern tribes, including some Judahites, because the tribe of Dan, the tribe of Judah, associated closely while in in Canaan land, properly known as the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and probably traveled together and had a common leader, Other Judahites would have traveled according to their own leader. Other Danites would have traveled according to a purely Danite leader. Okay? Nobody knows the real history. We just have some names. Odin, as we just found out, is probably just a name or a title of their leader. okay, not an actual name, okay? All right, so when Denmark today genetically is 60% similar to the ancient Vikings and 40% similar to the ancient Germanic tribes, the Israelite tribe of Dan must make up 60% Viking part, and the Judah Jutes must make up the 40% Germanic part. Okay, yep. So we're reaching the end of this article. I think let's save this, and we're going to visit a different article for part two. We'll finish this and start a different article for part two. But you know what we can say generally is that every single one of these nation states of Europe can be traced back to an Israelite tribe.
That's correct.
Okay. And there's no doubt about this, folks. Absolutely no doubt about this.
Now, we're talking about ethnic and genetic heritage, not necessarily religious heritage, because apostatized and they all had their little groups.
Yeah.
But the genetic disposition is Israelite.
Right. Well, there's
That's what counts.
Amen. Amen. There was a very interesting prophecy by Yahshua. I think it's in Luke, where he says that you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. Okay? So in other words, the Israelites would have so many cities that you will not have had a chance to convert all of them to Christianity even until the judgment day.
That's right. Okay. We got less than 3 minutes, brother.
Yeah.
So we got a plan to play the music.
Yeah.
And we'll catch everybody next week on this show. And Bloodlines on Sunday. So we've been having some fun shows. And boy.
Oh.
The Polish people, which tribe? We don't have time to get into that today, brother. But we can
investigate.
We'll do that. We'll do that next
right.
time.
Yeah. Well, they're named after the Po River. I don't know who the river was named after. Okay. Either a king or a people, one or the other. Maybe we'll find out. We can answer that question next week. All right. But there's another group here that hasn't been talked about. The Anglo-Saxons had their own ships. The Danites had their own ships. The Judahites had their own ships. And the tribe of Benjamin had their own ships. They were the Sea Wolves.
Sea Wolves, the tribe of Benjamin. Yeah. The symbol was the wolf.
That's right. And they primarily settled where? What's that island east? West of Ireland. Okay. Called Iceland.
Iceland.
They settled, okay? And it also went up to Russia as well, okay? We'll get to the tribe of Benjamin later. But, folks, there's so much history, and I'm so gratified that non-English-speaking authors from the various Nordic nations are beginning to write about the history of the migrations of Israel. This is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Because
their perspective adds a lot of information. It fills in a lot of blanks for us. So, all right, folks, thanks for listening. This is the end of part one about the Danes and Jutes, tribe of Dan, tribe of Judah. We'll get into part two of this series next week. Thanks for listening. Yahweh bless.
Praise Yahweh.
Play again.
Play the music.
Yeah, here we go, folks. All right.
Yeah.
Stop. Okay. Yeah, and then I forget, I'll have to send you the link to the other article. I have it saved somewhere. But
boy, everybody's fired up. We got that chat room just fired up. This is a good show, man.
Okay,
this
all right.
Good show.
Yes.
Well, get that file to me.
Yeah. Will do. All right. Very good. Yeah. The chat room is hopping. that's Israelite one. Want to know about the Polish people.
Yeah, that's Leroy.
Yeah. Okay, I looked that up. I had a really good, I sent a really good article about that to Barbara Novak. Yeah. All right, very good. Okay, brother. I'll get that.
Oh, Whittle.
Yeah. All right, excellent. Okay, let me change the, give it a new title and I'll send it to you. Okay. All right. Where are we? Under music. Okay, Steve. I'm going to go. I got to make a couple of phone calls yet before I go to bed. So take care and Yahweh bless. Shit.
All right, I'll talk at you later. I'm going to put a smart-ass remark.
Okay. All right. Okay.